Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. And all I can say this morning is wow. We've got leaks coming out that the board are dissatisfied with Ruben Amorim. The big question you've got to ask is why is this being leaked out at this pivotal moment? Where if Amorim loses tomorrow, we all know that's going to be huge pressure on him. Why are the board leaking against Amorim? Why is Amorim looking so fed up in press conferences? Also, there's a what I would call spin story out there from Sky that we might bid for Belaba, even though the manager said we're not bidding for anybody. What's going on at our football club? Lots to get into this morning and, of course, your reaction too. But look, you know, the club is spiralling out of control. It's very, very evident that that's the case. And this leak this morning in the Daily Mail, you might not like it. It might not be true, but there's a lot of detail in there. There's too much detail in there. There's dissatisfaction from Wilcox. There's dissatisfaction from Fivel. There are quotes about certain games and formations. So we'll go through that. But the big question is, why is it coming out? And I think it's bloody obvious why it's coming out, because what we've got is the Self-Preservation Society again. This has happened before. They sack to protect themselves. So, you know, to me, it's no coincidence that, and I must applaud this community and I must applaud what's been happening this year, because I feel like, I mean, I'm not saying that we've ever fell off, but I do feel like the formulative years of the United Stand was to be, you know, to ask those questions other people won't ask and to discuss things other people won't discuss. And I've certainly noticed in the last few days, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes, there's a bit of kickback, because when you put your head above the crowd, you start to get a few punches thrown. And I think we've had that, you know, we all need to come together and just be supportive of Man United. Supportive of what? An ownership that's got us in the mud for 20 years. We all just need to get behind the club. What, the club that's owned by the Glazers? But this is just the bots. This is just the reaction. This is what they do. The minute you start on a theme that damages the ownership or the board, they start to come up with tactics to, you know, kill that off. And they'll be very successful with it. And you start to see these accounts on social media who start calling out the United Stand or calling out Terry last night or calling out somebody else, because it's like, oh, they're toxic. They're so negative. When actually we're not being toxic and negative. We're saying the board are killing this club. And suddenly we're really negative and toxic from the bots and everybody else who's, you know, back the club. We're not talking about Amorim. From New Year's Day, we've not spoken about Amorim. We're talking about the ownership. We're talking about Jason Wilcox. We're talking about the Glazers. We're talking about Omar Berada. We're talking about the club spiraling out of control. And suddenly, we've got leaks against the manager. That's not a coincidence. All I would say is, if you're calling out Wilcox and you're calling out Berada and you're calling out Ineos, you've hit a nerve. This is a good story this morning. They have not said anything negative about Amorim because they appointed him. This is their manager. This is their guy. We're going to back him for 3 years. You know, this is the guy that we've appointed. This is the guy that we're going to back. And then suddenly this morning, there's a load of stuff against Amorim. Yesterday, you've got Amorim in a press conference looking beaten, which is why I did that video saying disgrace, because I can see what's coming. And I think some of you will be waking up this morning to see what's coming. They are doing what they do. They are pushing this onto the manager. We're going to go through some of these quotes, but it's about formation. It's about comments from other managers. They are basically throwing him in to the fire. You know, they are basically putting it all on him. And there's no way that's going to wash. No way that's going to wash. But that's what they're doing. Wilcox, Berada, Sir Jim Radcliffe, they are now going to do what the Glazers have done for years. They appoint a guy, they don't back them, and then they pin it all on them. But remember the percentage pie. When you've got blame, you've got to figure out for your own self how much of the blame gets apportioned to people. And for me, Amorim's responsible for 25% and the ownership are responsible for 50%. So you can pin it all on the 25%, but I am not buying that. So I think what we're getting this morning is a lot of people do not understand why this article is out there, why Wilcox and Fivel and Berada and Sir Jim are linked to, you know, negativity towards Amorim. And I think it's because They're protecting themselves, as they always do. So let's get into it. So look, first of all, behind the scenes, this is coming in from the Daily Mail. Behind the scenes, the leadership has expressed growing dissatisfaction with how the team's functioning for some time. A previously undisclosed incident highlights this tension involving United's head of recruitment, Favell, who indicates after the 1-1 draw at Fulham, the 39-year-old was reportedly irritated by how easily the team's tactical system was decoded and dismantled by Marco Silva, and also, I think, Iwobi said something after the game as well. So I would say straight away to that, some of you might go, oh, Favell's cooking. You know, Favell's not happy with Amrim's formation, and neither have I. Neither am I, so Favell's cooking. You know what I think straight away? Excuse me. I've got total respect for a Man United fan who doesn't like the 3-4-3. I've got total respect for a Man United fan that wants to change the manager, because they're a fan with no skin in the game. They just see what they want and they say it, right? Say what you see. If you see it, say it. But Favell, Wilcox, Barada, Sir Jim, you cannot sit there a year down the line and go, I'm dissatisfied with what's being said about Ruben Amorim and his tactics. You know, you've not been ambushed. You bloody recruited him. You sat there, having sacked Ten Hag, and sat in a room and decided this guy was the guy. You cannot then say, well, I'm really surprised he's playing a 3-4-3 and the midfield's getting overrun that we didn't support him on. I can't speak. I'm so surprised, Sir Jim. You know, I didn't... I know he played a 3-4-3 and the midfield's really important and ours is shit, but when we recruited him, I didn't actually think he was going to play a 3-4-3 and the midfield would get overrun. I mean, who are these morons? It's so bloody obvious. Our midfield was getting overrun under Erik ten Hag in a 4-3-3. It's definitely going to get overrun in a 3-4-3. And you know he plays a 3-4-3. So it's on you. If you're stunned, dissatisfied or unhappy with Amrim's tactics, you bloody recruited him. It's as simple as that. But it goes on. It goes on to say that Jason Wilcox's dialogue with Amrim is continuous, whether it be at Carrington, on flights between matches or on the platform station at Stockport. However, United's director of football is routinely passing his thoughts on, and in recent weeks, it's become increasingly apparent that those conversations are more fraught. On Friday afternoon, the smiles, shoulder taps and wisecracks were nowhere to be seen. His comments on little chance of new recruitment in January only added to the belief of strained relationships. So look, that's you know, strained relationships in the dressing room. I think that, look, first and foremost, this, as I said, lots of people would say, why is this happening the day before Leeds? I think this is the drip, drip, drip effect. And it's amazing. It's amazing how on the video yesterday, the disgrace video, which I know many of you have watched, and thank you so much for that and your comments that you left, because there were some very interesting ones. But I believe I said it, and I was out last night, so I might have said it when I was out. I believe I said in the video that my takeaway from how Amrim looks so defeated, so broken, he literally said in a press conference, you know, nobody's leaving and nobody's coming in. There's no conversations about that, which is incredible and is a disgrace. My interpretation of that was that, well, this is the beginning of the end. You know, stupidly, I think the board have gone, let's not back him because we're probably going to sack him in May, which is stupid, by the way, because you could back him and back him with players that would work for the next manager anyway, i.e. midfielders. But I felt that after the press conference yesterday, something had shifted, and the ability to read people when they're talking, they might be saying one thing, but they might be giving you off other vibes. And I think Amrim was giving off vibes of somebody who was defeated, somebody who was lost, somebody who looked broken. And my instant reaction to that was, I think there's a shift. I think the board are already planning to move him on, unless he can miraculously get out of this situation with what he's got. It was interesting what Eddie Howe said yesterday in his interview, and I think it was referenced in the Daily Mail article. He was talking about tactics and the pressure to change his tactics. And he basically said, there's too much focus on plan Bs to take you away from plan A. When you should be focusing on plan A, because if you go to plan B, it shows the players that if they don't work at plan A, you will move to plan B, when really you should be reinforcing the plan A so that the players know that this is what they've got to work on. But look at United. We've got exactly the same problem. Everybody wants to go to plan B now. Even I want to go back to the back four because he showed us the back four. And he never should have shown us the back four. He never should. I always said he never should have shown us the back four because you've massively undermined yourself. Let people demand a back four. Let people talk about a back four, but don't play it because it's not you. The minute you play it, you've undermined yourself massively. So I just think Amrim's in massive trouble now, and the board leaking against him is a disgrace again. But they'll have done it because Sir Jim Radcliffe, Omar Berada, Jason Wilcox have got their fingerprints all over the sacking of Erik ten Hag, having given him £300 million, and the recruitment of Ruben Amorim and giving him £200 million, and both being a huge failure. They are the culprits. Ten Hag got sacked. Amorim might be heading to the sack, but the real villains are Wilcox, Berada and Sir Jim. They've caused the problems. But what they'll do is what the Glazers do. They'll spin it now. They'll move it towards the manager so that everyone loads on the manager and they're seen as the rescuers by sacking him and bringing another guy in. It's the survival of the fittest. It's how it works. You're responsible, but you manipulate the situation to make somebody else look responsible. And that is what's happening here. So I have a huge amount of sympathy for Amorim. And some of you will say, well, Terry was on the show last night saying he needs to go. Look, this is what the United stand is. Like, you have to have different conversations. You have to have different opinions. That's always the way it's been. I don't care if Beth wants to give Amorim a five-year contract. I don't care if Maud's wants to sack him today. I don't care if Terry wants to sack him next week. It doesn't matter because I'll come on and give you my opinion and you will give your opinion. And what you'll find across the channel is different things that create different conversations. However, where I do stand is that he should be given the season and he should be backed now. I don't know whether he's going to get the season, but it doesn't look like he's going to get back now. And the one fundamental that you cannot move away from, and nobody can move away from, much more of an excuse than this nonsense excuse about eight players being out. I do not buy into that at all. I think it's a load of shit. They keep putting it out there. He's missing eight players like it's a surprise. We're not missing eight players. Three of them are playing in a tournament that we knew was going to happen in the summer. One of them is Maynou, who he never picks. One of them is Maguire, who we've got three fit centre-backs. We're really missing De Ligt and Bruno. Those two are the two that you could say is unlucky because it's unforeseen. However, Arsenal miss Rice. They've missed Gabriel. You know, Chelsea, people get injuries. That's the whole point. You have a squad. So if you want to get the violin out about eight players out, I would say totally irrelevant. This is why we didn't have a very good summer transfer window, because we didn't go into a season where we were only playing domestic football, by the way. We should have a squad for domestic football. It's disgusting that we're struggling in a domestic football season. With no Europe, we're still struggling. People are still making excuses about the squad, even though we're only in domestic football. We're not even in Europe. Imagine what would have happened if we'd had another eight games to play in Europe. I mean, where would we be? We'd probably be in the bottom half of the table, and people don't figure that one out. With another eight games and European football, this squad would have been on its arse. How many more points would we have dropped on the weekend having to play on a Thursday or a Wednesday? So it's an absolute shit show. And Amorim's not responsible for mapping out the schedule and the fitness and the squad. He asks for things, they have to be given. They didn't give him a midfielder in the summer and they've not given him one now. And that, to me, is where I do have sympathy with Amorim, because although there is a very good case to say he's not the guy, and I would put my hands up and say I'm not convinced he is the guy, I think he's on the road to the sack, I will never sway from the fact that I like listening to him, and he hasn't been given a midfielder. He should have been given two. He's not been given one. And that midfield had Jamie Carragher jumping around in white trainers going, "It's the midfield. I've solved the problem, Harry. I've solved the problem, Gandalf. The problem's the midfield. Look at me white trainers." You know, that was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Jamie Carragher was jumping around on Monday Night Football telling us Casemiro's legs are gone and the midfield's not very good. We've brought a manager in that time. We've changed system in that time. And we've not given him one midfield signing. So you might be going, "Oh, Mark, shut up. Get rid of Amorim." That's absolutely fine. I respect that. But you have to respect the fact that they haven't backed him. And I see comments, people going, "How can Mark sit there and say that Ineos haven't backed Amorim when they've given him £250 million? well, why have they not bought a midfielder? Why have they not bought a midfielder? And Diego says he didn't want a midfielder. Well, he wanted Belaba in the summer. He wanted Conor Gallagher in the summer. He did want a midfielder and he didn't get one. However, he didn't sell Bruno and he stuck him in the midfield. There are, you know, Amrim's not free. Absolutely not. As I said, in the percentage of blame, he takes 25%, but the ownership takes 50%. And you know what? I look at this morning. You can tell me your thoughts. I've had mine. I want to talk about this Belaba story and I want to get into your comments. And there's a couple of other things I want to say about the general sense around the fan base at the moment. But this story this morning does not surprise me at all. Some people are saying it's nonsense. Some people are saying it's a load of crap. I actually think there's too much in there. When you go through it, it's talking about the Wolves game and what Rob Edwards said. And Rob Edwards basically, again, spoke about Man United and they always play three at the back predominantly. And it's all about formation. It's all about Wilcox. Wilcox has a say in this. Wilcox has a say in that. But my key takeaways are two. One, why is the interview coming out? Well, I think it's because in the last few days, especially in this community, we've turned our attention to Wilcox, Berarda and Ineos, and they do not like that because they need to survive. So they've got to deflect. And second, and most important is you have no right at all to order a Big Mac meal. And then when you get it home, eat your Big Mac and go, I didn't want a burger, you know. Oh, I didn't know gherkins were going to be on it. Oh, I didn't know there was bread in the burger. I didn't know it had lettuce on it. You know, you get what you order. United ordered this. You know, they sat there with the menu and they went, this is what we want. We want this 3-4-3. We want this manager. You know, they sat there, spoke about it, ordered it, and now they've got it. They're going, oh, we didn't order that. Oh, we didn't. And I'm not, you know what? I am not falling for that. If you want to fall for that, that's up to you. I am not falling for that. I am not shifting. The one thing I'm really proud of in 2026 is that people are talking about this community in the way I want it to be spoken about. It's creating debate. It's creating division, but the division needs to be there. You know, there's people out there going, oh, United stand this, United stand that. We all need to get United behind the club. What are we getting United behind the club for, please? Can you tell me what positivity we're getting United for? Because have you forgotten who owns the football club? Have you forgotten the real villains here? So, I've got total respect for people who want to get behind the club. You do you. But don't start preaching about those of us who are pointing the finger at the club, at the owners, and saying they're the reason the club has declined for 20 years. Don't you dare start to say the real issue is the fans. Come on. You are defending the Glazers. You are defending Sir Jim Ratcliffe. You are defending Omar Berarda. You are defending Jason Wilcox. And why? Why would any Man United fan wake up and go, you know what? I choose positivity. I'm just going to get behind Ineos and the Glazers and I'm going to support them. And they, you know what they do? They then try and make it about Amrim, but they're not listening. Like, since January the 1st to today, I've not even spoken about Amrim in the sense that, oh, he needs to go this, that and the other. He is a byproduct. You change the ownerships, they'll change the manager anyway. But he is being thrown under the bus. He is absolutely being thrown under the bus. And we've seen it before. And of course, he has to take some of the blame. Of course, he has to take some of the blame. But the main blame is the owners. And they're starting to shit themselves. They're starting to panic. Some of you have said we need to stoke the fire. Well, the fire is being stoked. But the problem is when you stoke the fire goes up and people see the fire and not everyone attracted by the fire is going to be on your side. So this is what you wanted. You wanted somebody to stoke the fire. Well, we're doing that. And they're taking notice. The club are taking notice. That's why we're now getting stuff about Wilcox ain't happy with Amorim. Oh, Favell's not happy. They're starting to wash their hands of the manager and push the blame. It's up to you whether you want to back them and, you know, jump, blame it all on Amrim, or you want to blame some of it on Amrim and blame most of it on them. And that, to me, is where I'm at. And I think it's where a lot of people are. You can sack Amrim tomorrow, but the next guy is going to be where Amrim is now in a year because they don't know how and cannot run a football club. So this will happen again and again and again. And you know what? Amrim might get sacked and the next manager might not be Xabi. It might not be Tuchel. It might not be Nagelsmann. It might be Gareth Southgate. It might be Gareth Southgate. So things can get worse. Saying you want the manager gone, I think Terry said this last night. He wants the manager gone, but he's not excited about the next manager because he thinks the next manager will suffer the same fate. I completely understand that stance. I've seen it increasingly over the last few weeks, and it does make sense. I mean, Terry's just messaged me there saying crazy story this morning, but I understand what Terry was saying. Like, he wants Amrim gone because he thinks he's not the guy, but he's not excited by the next manager because he believes the next manager will fail, which is essentially saying it doesn't matter who the manager is, everybody's going to fail at this football club. I think Paul Scholes said it at the start of the week, didn't he? You know, you could bring Pep, Klopp, you could put them together, they're still going to fail. So, look, I really hope that people start to have these conversations. And obviously some people aren't going to get on board with it, but more and more people will. This is chaos at Manchester United again, right before a massive game against Leeds. It feels to me like the board is setting Amrim up to go. I don't think it's going to be on Monday. I don't think it's going to be this month, but I think they are setting him up to go unless he produces a miracle. And all the components are there. You know, Wilcox, Favell, Sir Jim, they'll all start turning. And I don't think Amrim looks like a guy. I mean, I've seen him look tired in interviews before, but I don't think Ruben Amrim looks like a guy that looks like he can get himself out of it, you know? Maz Rawawi, thanks for your super chat. I want to get into your comments and then I want to just pick up on a couple of other bits from that article and also this story about Belaba. Amrim must walk away and expose like Maresca, says Rohit. Maz Rawawi says, you're wrong, Mark. Ineos don't want a Big Mac. They want a month-old cheese and onion pasty from Greg's. Patrick Lynch is here, could be the voice of reason. He says, when things were going wrong towards the end of the Ten Hag, we suddenly got stories of Wilcox talking to him about tactics. We really are just on a hamster wheel, rinse, repeat again. I think that's a great point, actually. I do remember that vividly, the talk of tactics from Jason Wilcox. And also, can I just say, who is Jason Wilcox? All I know about Jason Wilcox is he played for Leeds and Blackburn, two clubs that Man United don't like. He then worked at Man City and now he's at Man United with our future in his hands. I'm sorry. Who are you? You've got nothing to do with Man United. Leeds, Blackburn and Man City. What do you know about Man United? Why are we trusting this guy who is basically a prospect? You know, he's meant to have a good reputation, but he's not established. He's another prospect. You know, this is Berarda's first job as a CEO. Oh, he worked at Man City with an open checkbook. Whoop-de-doo. You know, I don't trust these people. I trust Amrim more than I trust Wilcox. You know, I think Amrim's got a better CV than Wilcox. So these are people that we're meant to, oh, Wilcox thinks this. You know what? It's like a bloody budgie flying in through your window and, you know, giving its opinion by tweeting at bloody EastEnders. I couldn't give a shit. Fuck off. Fly off, you knobhead. Who are you? What do you know? How many BAFTAs have you won? Piss off. You know, it's like, but we're sort of brainwashed into, well, Wilcox thinks this, Berarda thinks that. Couldn't give a toss. Who are they? Why are they not being held to the accountability of Amrim? Amrim probably gets scrutinised how he, you know, what bloody trainers he wears. You know, what route he takes to Carrington. What's in his packed lunch. His boss, Wilcox and Berarda, we never hear anything about those. Oh, well, we won't hear anything about those because the written press, the media, the client journalists won't say a bloody word, because if they say anything negative about Berarda or Wilcox or Sir Jim, you're not going to the press conference, you're not getting that in. And I know that for a fact. I've played the game. Why do you think we got into Carrington and had an interview with Rasmus and we've never been back? It's got nothing to do with anything else other than we speak too negatively about the owners. Feedback. Hashtag feedback. You're too negative about the club and the owners. Well, sorry, I ain't going to walk the line to get an interview with Delow. You know, 6 months of positivity about the Glazers and we might give you Delow. Fuck off. I would rather be honest and say what we've been saying for 10 years, that you ain't fit for purpose. And if that means we don't get an interview with Delow, I couldn't give a shit. I really, really couldn't. The injuries and AFCON is relevant excuse for Amrim, but not for the club, says Andy. Yeah, well, I like that. I think you're absolutely spot on. I think Amrim is short at the moment, but they would have known this in the summer. You know, AFCON players, we knew were going to go in the summer. Would you not think about... I mean, I was thinking this the other day. On the absence of players at the moment, some people want to use it as an excuse. It's pitiful and disgraceful from the board that they've put us in this situation. But imagine we were like second in the league. Imagine we'd taken all the points many people felt we should have took, and we were second in the league, and we were actually in a title race like Villa. Like, you know, I know I'm talking miraculous bollocks, but imagine we were where Villa are, right? We'd all be getting excited going, you know what? We could win this league. And then you hit January and Ahmad goes, and Mbeumo goes, Mazraoui goes, De Ligt's injured, Bruno's injured. And you go, we need to buy players. Or imagine we were in a relegation battle. Well, we need to buy players. It doesn't matter that we're fighting to get into sixth, or whether you're trying to win the league, or whether you're trying to not get relegated. There is no scenario where you wouldn't back the manager in January. Because we're short. We are short. And let's not forget, from the very start of the season, we've been using a number 10 as our midfielder, which says we're short in the midfield. So it's, I mean, West Ham have gone out and bought two players the first day of the window. Crystal Palace have gone and bought a player first day of the window. Like, people are out there doing business and we're not. Slow Sports News, thanks for your super chat. He says, is it pride or arrogance that he's sticking with his back three? His previous comments were, I'm not changing formation because of the fans. I don't think he should change his formation anyway. I've always said that. I know a lot of us have seen the back four and like it, but that was his worst mistake. The minute he did that, he's undermined himself, really. It's a shame the board is full of narcissistic manipulators who struggle to take accountability for their own mistakes. We need to stay strong, says Semzu. Glinios out, Amrim out, player out, total reset, says Gandos. Mike JW says, do you think they leaked this on purpose? Do they not think they know fans will see this? Because I only see this as failure by them more than Amrim. Well, there will be some people that like this. There will be some people going, oh, yeah, well, I support the club. So, you know, Ineos and the Glazers and Berarda and Wilcox, thank God they can see what I'm seeing, that Amrim's shit. They need to sack him. So some people will actually like it. And that's part of the process, isn't it? Mark, welcome to Members Club. Thank you. Sorry, he's gifted a membership. Thank you very much, Mark. And Laura has gifted 5 memberships this morning. Absolute legend, Laura. Patrick Lynch is back. He says, I'm not surprised that the board think these leaks help them, when in fact it highlights their incompetence, shows how incapable they are. But Patrick, they've been incompetent for years and they still survive. There is no accountability because nobody will hold them accountable. The only time they ever get accountable is when they get pressure. Look, as I said, I'm very grateful for this community for many reasons. And I know I don't ever care when people take a pop at us. I don't really care when people in the community start leaving comments or anything. This is great because it means it's creating debates. And that's what, you know, and the debate is, how do we get Man United back to the top? But is it not a coincidence that since January the 1st, we basically pointed, well, it was actually New Year's Eve, wasn't it? It was the video on New Year's Eve. We've basically gone, Ineos and the Glazers are killing the football club, and that needs to be back on the agenda because the mainstream won't discuss it. The ex-players won't discuss it. The journalists won't discuss it. So we start discussing it. And then within 2 days, Amrim looks broken and there's leaks coming out about the board not liking Amrim. Well, that's cause and effect. The minute you start putting a little bit of pressure on the ownership, that is when things start to happen. But if you leave them, they just hide in the background. You know, as I said a few years ago, the Liverpool game got cancelled. I don't remember how, I mean, I do remember, but the Liverpool game got cancelled. The Glazer, Joel Glazer, was on the fan forum within a week because they shit themselves. They're not invincible. They're just very clever at deflecting and staying quiet. But the minute you start to put pressure on them, they start to do things. They start to panic. And I would not have predicted this morning, that we'd get leaks against Amrim about Favel, Wilcox, Berarda, Sir Jim. So continue the pressure, as Cap or Die says. Yeah, but we can only do so much. Others need to do stuff. You know, there are match-going organisations. There are, you know, there's the Man United Supporters Trust. There's the 58. You know, the Red Army, fantastic, you know, what they're doing around the atmosphere and Old Trafford. But the, you know, pressure on this ownership will lead to change. It might not lead to them, you know, leaving, but it will lead to change. It might lead to a change in manager. It might lead to spending in January. You know, not all change is the change you want, but it's still change. Where we are at the moment, you've got Sir Jim Ratcliffe saying we're going to stick with this manager for 3 years. You've got the manager saying we're not going to spend in January. And you've got a football club that's in decline. pressure might lead to a manager change. It might lead to spending in January. It might lead to, you know, more focus on the football. We can only try. The one thing I want to see is his spending in January. I mean, I'd had a few beers last night, but I'll say it here now. We need to sign Conor Gallagher. I'm absolutely convinced Conor Gallagher will make a difference to this team. I'm absolutely convinced he'll be a good signing. And he's homegrown. You look at that United team, with all due respect, Mbeumo is Cameroon. Cunha is Brazilian. Lemens is Belgian. Who else did we... Sesko is Slovakian. Baleba, another Cameroonian. Like, there is a homegrown issue at Man United as well, which is why we want to keep people like Harry Maguire. I think that we should sign Conor Gallagher in January, and I think we should sign him now. But you might have your own ideas, but I want to see his spending in January. I think that's the first step. Because I do actually believe what I said 2 weeks ago. If you give Ruben Amorim, Sander Berg and James Garner, we will get top five. I don't want those two players, but what are they? They are disciplined, run-of-the-mill Premier League midfielders. Two disciplined, run-of-the-midfielders in that team will improve that team massively. He hasn't got a midfield. It's shite. And he might not be the guy. And 3-4-3 might not be the system. And I respect that. But what you have to respect is, no matter whether you like the formation or you like Amorim, if he gets sacked or he survives, that midfield is absolutely an excuse. You cannot, no matter what happens, say that he was backed when he's never been given midfielders. And that's the argument I will always have. And it's why I don't think he's the guy, but I would give him the season, because I expected in January they were going to give him a midfielder, and I wanted 5 months of having a look at him with midfielders. But I'm not waiting till the summer. If this is a shit season, I'm not going to say give him another season. Fuck that. He's got to go. But I will give him till May, but they've got to give him players in January. And that's where I'm at. And I think that's where a lot of people are at. And my focus on blame is not on him. It's on the ownership, because they are the people that do that. But I don't disagree with people who are saying he's a shit manager, he's not good enough, this, that, and the other, because the evidence isn't good. But I still would say no team's going to survive, no system's going to survive without midfielders. You can get Emery, you can get Xavi. They're still going to go, I need midfielders. Here comes the schoolboys lining up before the headmaster, giving excuses as to why their homework is not up to scratch. This is Emily Derry. Just want to thank you for everyone in your team that you do on the United Stand. It's great to be part of it, says Laura. Thank you, Laura. You're an absolute legend. The team plays football like the club runs, ironically. Take no responsibility and pass it back to somebody else, both with failing leadership groups, says The Beautiful Game. Distraction tactics in full force, classic owner, says John. I'm so happy that people this morning are seeing it for what it is. Why do you actually support the club? History and nostalgia aside, why tomorrow do you wake up and say, this is my favourite club, they get my support, says Notorious. Because that's, I mean, look, we're all different. It's a good question. It's a very good question. Why do I support this football club? Why do I continue to support this club? Why do you continue to support this football club? Because I think you make a choice as a kid. Or these days, a teenager, or even a young man or woman. I don't know when you choose to get into football. Some people get into football quite late. I loved football from a very young age. I was brought up in a household and family where football was really important. My granddad loved football, managed teams, you know, and he was sort of my idol. So I loved football, and I'd be out in the garden playing football, this, that, and the other. And I saw all the videos of United and the Busby Babes and George Best, and I fell in love with Manchester United and what it stood for. And then you learn about, you know, 58 and how the club came back, and you sort of like go, not only is this a football club, it's a story that no other club has. In a certain sense, Liverpool has its own story, which is intertwined with tragedy and success. But Manchester United was the club for me as a kid. I would never wake up and go, I'm not going to support it anymore, because I'd be turning my back on nostalgia and, you know, my granddad and, you know, everything like that. So Manchester United to me means more than who owns it or who plays for it, who manages it. I'm not interested in that. It's what Manchester United means to me. And I think that's why people will continue to support their club no matter what. I'd support Man United in the National League. Of course I would, because there is a reason I support them. Some people might support them because they won the league And now they're like, well, I'll support City now. But everybody has a reason for supporting. And that to me is what drives it. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. And that's why when people go, oh, just go and touch grass, it's because their support isn't at a level that maybe ours is, where we're obsessed with football and we're obsessed with Manchester United and we want to win. The same club that play the get blame game on the manager rather than take responsibility for poor decisions and not backing the manager, says Slow Sports News. And Mike says, Ineos are falling apart. They ain't going to get a new stadium for the Glazers. They recruited worst in class. Want them gone before Amorim. I think they're under pressure, Mike. I think they're under pressure. I see this morning as a positive. I see Amorim's press conference yesterday as a positive. You know, would you rather Ruben Amorim sat there in a press conference smiling, looking relaxed, saying we're not going to do anything in January? Would you rather wake up this morning and it's leaks about how they might give Amorim a new contract? I would rather see Amorim looking stressed and fucked off and pissed off. I would rather see stories of internal, you know, breakdown and fallout, because it shows the cracks are starting to appear. But we already know the cracks are there. We're seeing the results. We're seeing the performances. So, you know, I would rather the club started disintegrating, because we're watching the club disintegrate month after month, week after week. So instead of this bullshit that everything's okay, it's not okay. Heads need to roll. I would love to see Jason Wilcox get sacked. I would love to see Omar Berada get sacked before Amorim. I would love to see that. You know, imagine if you brought in a director of football that was decent tomorrow. Maybe things change. Maybe he comes in and says Amorim needs to go. Or maybe he comes in and says we need to get players in. You know, it's always the manager. But the change of a CEO or the change of a director of football might make a change as well. Like, we need a lot of change. We need a total reset. But I'm actually, look, I think it's a big thing. And look, just to add in this, there was a story that came out yesterday from Sky Sports News, exclusive. Man United have explored a deal for Belaba this window, but not expected to progress, with Brighton determined to hold on until the summer. Man United could sign two midfielders in 2026. Other Man United players in prospects include Boadi. I was told, and I don't even know if I can tell you the journalist's name, but you probably figure it out. I got that sent to me last night. I was in the pub. I got that sent to me last night. I looked at it and went, ooh, are we going to go for Belaba? We could be trying to get Belaba this window, but Brighton don't want to sell. I got that sent to me. And this is the direct quote from the journalist. I'm told this isn't true. Club spin to try and look busy. And that journalist is very good. Very good. So they message me. This is not from my source. It's not. I don't know anything about this other than apparently Sky said last night United were trying to get Belaba. Blah, 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 blah. A top journalist said to me, this is not true. It's club spin to try and look busy. Wow. So the cracks are appearing. The Belaba story is just spin from the club to look busy. They have no intention of going for Belaba, but it's spin. You are being fucking spun. You've got Wilcox and Favel and Ineos apparently not happy with Amorim. You've got Amorim in a press conference looking distraught. And then you've got a Belaba story that is just spin and bollocks to make you feel a bit positive about something that's not going to happen. The cracks are there. The cracks are there. And it's all falling apart. But, you know, you can say, wow. You can say, oh, my God. But you can also say, well, you know what? Let's just take a moment. Are we surprised? We sit here going, the club's a mess. It's being run into the ground. They don't know what they're doing. They're bloody awful. And then when you see the evidence of it, people want to go, I can't believe it. Well, I can believe it. I can believe it. This is what happens when you leave clowns running the circus. It's chaos. And that's what's happening. It's all falling apart. Now, you compare Manchester United to the way that Liverpool's run, or Man City's run, or Arsenal's run, or even Chelsea, which is a bit chaotic, but they do spend money. We're a joke. We're an absolute joke. And I'll go back to what I said on New Year's Day. Please, somebody explain to me why you've got the journalists around Man United doing nothing. You've got ex-players in the main not really talking about the Glazers or Ineos anymore. And you've got the media who never talk about Glazers or Ineos anymore. And that's because for some reason they've got them by the balls and they're twisting it, saying don't say anything. But the minute you start talking about it, the dominoes start to fall. And what we're seeing is there's a lot of dominoes need to fall. But in the last 48 hours, I think the dominoes are starting to fall. I do. It's just whether that will stop. They're very good at stopping it. And look, I must just bring this in because this is exactly the sort of thing I'm talking about. And I'm never afraid to like sort of hit things head on and say, well, you know what? This is the way it can be. So let me have a look at this account. So Cantonar Devils, which is a decent account on X, basically put this out last night and got a lot of interaction. So I'm just going to find it and then we can sort of discuss it. Okay. So Terry's video last night saying that Amrim's got to go, get out. This account said, there was a time I enjoyed listening to the United Stand. I love to tune into YouTube to watch clips and join the match reaction and watch alongs. But today, all I hear is toxicity and negativity being spewed on the channel. The United Stand is now focused on making the book out of United situation, and you guys are doing a good job of milking every opportunity of setback to rage bait and spewing negativity. United Stand disgust me. Okay, fine. I mean, you're completely wrong, but that's fine. But then I also looked at their account and they said this. We have three types of fans at United. A, the ones that understand that building takes time and there will be ups and downs during such phase, but support the manager and the project. B, those that any moment of suffering or setback in the journey of rebuilding are ready to jump ship to a new manager because they believe the grass is always greener on the other side. And C, those fans that see Man United downfall as an opportunity to make a buck by spreading hate content. Every Man United fan falls into one of these categories, whether A, B and C. Mate, you've took a pop at the United Stand and the community and you've called us rage baiters and we're in it for money, which is hilarious because it's proven that that's not the case. But you've just categorised Man United fans into three categories. One, which I presume you are in, where you support the manager and the club and the project. Two, where people just moan and want a new shiny toy. And three, people who are just doing it opportunistically to cause issues. But you've not described me. You've not described a lot of people. What about the fan that feels sorry for the manager because he's been scapegoated again, but hates the ownership and what they've done to the football club because they are the real villains and for 20 years they've taken us into the sewers and beyond? That's where most Man United fans are. So you're A, where you say, you know, mate, are you a bot for the Glazers, basically? Because you're basically saying that the noble Man United fan, which I presume is you, is the one that understands that building takes time and there will be ups and downs during this phase, but supports the manager in the project. When you say you support the project, that means you support the Glazers. So basically, you've exposed yourself for what you are. And I really do respect what you've put out there because you put an opinion out there, but you've completely proven what I said. We are making waves, and I don't know what your surroundings are. Maybe you are just a fan who's brainwashed. Maybe you are just a fan who loves positivity, but you've literally just described yourself as somebody supporting the manager and supporting the project. The project is the Glazers project, mate. Old Trafford's going to get knocked down. We finished 15th last year. We're £1 billion in debt. The club's falling apart. Your manager that you support is having a nervous breakdown in a press conference yesterday. And this morning, the project that you support is throwing him under the bus. But you sit in plan A on your throne of top United fan, supporting the manager in the project. And it's crumbling in front of you. And that's got nothing to do with the United Stand or any other fan. There is no such thing as a real fan. Everybody will have their own opinions, but don't categorise us and then try and put yourself on a pedestal when your category doesn't make sense. You're basically saying there'll be ups and downs, but we real fans support the manager and the project. What project? The project that they are ridiculing this morning. The project that the manager is sat falling apart on yesterday. The project that put us 15th in the league and lost us to Spurs. The project that's not had us anywhere near a Premier League title for 13 years. The project that means one of the greatest football grounds in the world is going to get razed to the ground. The project that has £1 billion of debt. The project that the manager is not going to get backed in January. The project that we've got no fucking midfield. You know, what project are we backing here? Don't dare try and categorise people who call this stuff out as opportunistic, hater, rage baiters. What if it's the truth? What if the truth is the real blame lies at the foot of the owners? What if the truth is that for 20 years they took a club that was on top of the world with no debt to be riddled by debt, on its arse, crumbling like a sandcastle? What if that's the truth? So, you know, you get your minions, you promote your story. Personally, my opinion is these types of statements start to come out when you start to scratch the surface of the real problem. You start to see the reaction. You start to see the reaction. And I'm all for this. I don't mind. You know, call the United Stand this. Call somebody else that. Have a pop at another content creator. Have a pop at another ex-player. I don't care, because it opens the debate. And I think more and more people are going to start saying exactly this. The minute you start pointing the finger at Wilcox, Berada, Sir Jim and the Glazers is the minute you start getting these people out. But all it does is grow the conversation, because I'm ready for that conversation. I'm ready for the people saying, we've just got to get behind the club. We've just got to get behind the manager. No. We don't have to do what you tell us to do, and you don't have to do what I'm saying. I'm not getting behind the club, and I'm not getting behind the project, because the project stinks, the club stinks, and it's sinking as well. And the project is the Glazers. The project is Sir Jim. And they're the worst thing that's happened to this football club in decades. That's a fact, in my opinion. So I'm not trusting the process because I don't trust them. That's not being negative. And what this has got to do with Amrim, I don't know. Because Amrim's just a pawn in a game of chess. Amrim will be gone if there's new owners. And Amrim will only survive if these owners back him. And apparently they're not going to do it. So I love this. I love this community. And I love United fans that are creating this debate. And I actually like that account, because you've gone and put yourself up there. You know, I'm an option A. I support the manager and I support the project. Well, you know, that's great. We don't support the project. We don't support Ineos. We don't support the Glazers, because they're destroying the football club. Let the debate happen. And the more people talk about it, the more the conversation will go. And that, to me, is what I'm very happy about in 2026, is that people are finally having a conversation that's beyond the manager and talking about what's happening with the club. Why is Jason Wilcox not up for the sack? Why is Omar Berada not up for the sack? Why are people not talking about the ownership? Because this, you can't just keep going, the results are crap, we're playing crap, sack the manager. You can't just keep doing that. Who I don't even know who the next manager is, but he's sacked by 2027. The next manager's sacked, and we don't even know who he is. By 2027, the next manager's sacked, and we don't even know who he is yet. We haven't even got a next manager. So, you know what? Bring on the debate. Well done to all of you. I'm not scared. You're not scared. Let's have the conversation, and let's keep asking the question. What? And let's start calling them out. Why aren't certain outlets talking about what we're talking about? Why aren't certain ex-players talking about what we're talking about? Why aren't the media talking about what we're talking about? Why aren't they talking about the real culprits? Why are Glazers and the Ineos getting away with it? Why does no one talk about them? It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's disgraceful that Ruben Amorim is doing interviews like yesterday, looking like that, looking like a man defeated. But the cracks are starting to show. 100% the cracks are starting to show. Careful, folks. The moment you point a finger to the owners, Glineos shills will relentlessly attack and discredit you on social media. Mate, look, Man United Football Club have got a lot of good people working there, a lot of intelligent people working there. I've told you that before. I know some of them. But they are social media savvy. Their quarterly shareholders meeting has a section on social media interaction. They are completely and utterly aware of anything that's being said, positive and negative, and they're completely aware that they need to try and control that. So if you say something about the owners, then they will try and do something to make it positive, which is hilarious, because the Sky Sports story about Berada, a top journalist messaged me last night and said it's just spin from the club to try and make themselves look busy. So the Belabor story is literally that. We're getting a bit of negativity. Let's try and spin a bit of positivity. So we know the tactics. There needs to be a hard reset. You know, I had hoped that Sir Jim was a real lifelong fan. I had hoped that he was going to appoint real best in class. And I had hoped that by 2026, the Glazers would be gone. I mean, let's not forget, there were so-called, you know, experts out there with sources telling us that when Sir Jim Radcliffe got the club, the Glazers would be gone by 2026. he got the club. There was nothing about 2026 and those people went quiet. But there were people saying, I don't want Qatar. We need Sir Jim because he'll have the Glazers out by 2026. Well, hello. Happy New Year. It's 2026. And guess what? The Glazers are still here. And we're still being run in the same way. Great work, Mark. Look, I feel like this year we might be shit on the pitch and it's very early in the year, but there does seem to be a bit of a change. There does seem to be a little bit of a... I think in the last few months, the fan base has been fed up, pissed off, but there's a reluctance from some to pin it on the manager. But there's total frustration. And I think what we're seeing now is a lot of people are going, well, actually, whatever about the manager, sack the manager, keep the manager. Will it change anything? The real issue has always been those people in control who hide in the shadows. And people are just shining a light on them. They're going, well, you're responsible. You're responsible. You're responsible. And it might only last a week. It might fall apart. But what you can't deny is, in the few days that this has been happening, we're now getting leaks against the manager, you know? So look, somebody somewhere might be, fucking hell, we need to write a check. As per the manager, they weren't writing any checks. We might write a check for a transfer now, and you think you're powerless. You think you don't make a difference. You think at Old Trafford, they're not going, fucking hell, they're starting to look at us. We've been found out. What price we start writing a cheque for Conor Gallagher or Ruben Neves now? Well, we weren't going to do it. Amrin literally said he wasn't going to do it. So if in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 2 days we're writing a cheque for a player, I don't want to people say, what were you moaning about? Well, they weren't going to do it. The manager literally said they weren't going to do it. That wasn't about, you know, bargaining. He literally sat there and went, there's no talks about signing any players and I'm not letting anybody go unless I get somebody in. So... What chaos is that? Mainu and Xerxes want to go, but you can't go because he can't get replacements. I mean, great. The ambition's incredible. But, you know, they might feel the pressure now and they might go, oh, let's sign somebody, which for me is a win. Ray Carl, hope you're doing well, pal. He says, let's keep calling the board out. I'm going to call them out. Every Manchester United post and social media post. They might not listen to me, but I'm tired of the board. Grateful if you read my super chat, says Marlo. I've got to go through them all. And let's not forget, it's not just us. You know, there are Man United websites. There are Man United fan groups. There are fantastic people out there who maybe haven't been saying stuff who might go, you know, fucking what? I'm going to do it as well. Look, there's other United content creators who don't say stuff. Maybe they'll start saying stuff as well. I don't care. I couldn't give a toss about that. It's like, but the more people who talk about it, the better. Daniel Thompson's gifted a membership. You're a legend. Daniel, the board was willing to sell Bruno. Amrin wanted Bruno to stay and play in the midfield. Amrin didn't back himself in regards to the midfield, says Gumball. Mate, completely agree with you. But if you want to make it all about Amrin and protect the board, that's your opinion. As I said, I think Amrin has made mistakes and probably isn't the guy. But 25% of the blame compared to 50% of the blame with the ownership. That's what I'm saying. Gandos, welcome to Members Club. We need to sack Glinios immediately. They will just get worse and worse. No tools to Amrin. The board could also go, we are selling Bruno to get others, says Yasin. Lamens, Mazraoui, Shaw, Martinez, Casemiro, Mainu, Bruno, Cunha, Embo, Mohamed. Simply use that, buy a midfielder and get Champions League football. This team can also build in a three to help satisfy Amrin. Xhaka would be great, says Rongo. Instead of defecting to the manager, recruitment should be scouting world to find winger and midfielder. That's not just under his nose for 70 million, says Glenn. Mark, he wanted to keep Bruno and play him in the midfield. That's why he never got a centre midfielder, so therefore he would be to blame as well, says Craig. A few decent results and fans get hyped up. A few crap results and we see where we really are at. Fans can't have it both ways. Amrin in with the right help. Happy New Year, Mark, says Double D. Happy New Year, Double D. Not heard from you from ages. Thank you. Yeah, look, it's a hard road when United are getting results and you're still saying, I don't see the plan, I don't see the vision, because people go, oh, you're always moaning. And that's where we were 2 weeks ago. But you drop points to Wolves and you keep saying it and people go, oh, I actually agree with you, which is why we do have this up and down season. But ultimately, best case scenario for United will be the occasional Champions League qualification and a domestic cup, will never win the Premier League and will never win the Champions League with this ownership. I'm absolutely convinced. Mistakes at United are viewed wrong at executive level because we have cowardice and incompetence in charge. Mistakes are to be buried and ignored, never learned from and used as a springboard, says Emily Derry. It's a money train, Emily. It's a money train. It's funny that that person on X was accusing United content creators of making money out of the club. I've never really understood how that works because the club don't give us any money. However, 100% the club are making money out of you. So when you start throwing stones at independent fan creators for making money out of the club who take their time to just, you know, create something that nobody has to pay to watch, but they choose to watch. But then you don't say the Glazers are making money out of you. It's hilarious. You actually spend money on a season ticket. You actually spend £100 on a United top and that goes into the club. And this football club is only interested in money. They are literally milking you for money. They don't care about winning on the pitch. They don't care about winning the Premier League. They are a money making exercise. Some football clubs don't care about making money. They just want to be successful. Man United for 20 years is about making money. That's what it is. That's why dividends were going out to the owner. That's profit. Dividends are literally taking money out that you've earned and paying yourself. Man United Football Club for years was paying the Glazers. So they are literally making money out of you. They are literally making money out of this football club. That's what they do. If you ask me at the start of the season, 3 points behind top four, I take that all day. Now people hate Amrin because he didn't expose the owners, says Faniel. Amrin's like the old fella who always had a Volvo because it would worked in the past. Maybe try an Audi or another car. You might like it, says Rory. All season going after Amrin and his tactics. Now only you guys realise it's the club that is wrong. It is what we said. How can you sack someone you didn't back? Well, I dispute that, Rios. I really do dispute that because, you know, I've had lots of problems personally because I've never backed the Glazers. I got a lot of abuse personally because I wanted Qatar and not Sir Jim. So I don't personally accept that. I don't. I think I've always said I don't like Ineos being in bed with the Glazers and I don't like the Glazers. Sometimes people want to discuss it and some people just go, that's boring. So I dispute that. I think we've always, there's never been a time where I've gone, I'm happy with Ineos or I'm happy with the Glazers. So I dispute that. I think it's always been the major problem at United. It just doesn't get discussed as much as it should do. Amrin is so proud and stubborn to play the best players in the most suitable system. The owners are too proud and stubborn to change manager. And we as fans will suffer for another decade, says Marlowe. But I think that's changing, Marlowe. I think it is changing. I think the last 24 hours, when you take into account Amrin's press conference and then what's coming out this morning, the cracks are starting to show. And one of two things are going to happen. Either it's going to get worse and it's going to end up with Amrin leaving, or they're going to get the checkbook out. But pressure is there. And what United want to do is sit back and do nothing. They want to hope for a miracle with what Amrin's got. And they don't want to spend any money. Well, they're either going to have to replace Amrin or they're going to have to back him in January. And ultimately, that's what I want. I want them to back him in January till the end of the season. Or if they're not going to back him, then you need to move on to the next project, don't you? But there we go. Could they wait until after January to sack Amrin? No window, meaning they can't buy for the new manager. Cost-saving tactics again, says Patrick. It's definitely going to be cheaper to sack Amrin in May than it's going to be to sack him now. I don't know the details of his contract, but, and it's got nothing to do with why I'd give him the season, by the way. But I know at the end of the season, he's in his final year, isn't he? So they either need to extend him or let him go. Whereas if they let him go now, that's 5 months premature, isn't it? So I presume there'd be more money having to play. I want McLaren, Button, Carrick, says Keel. I don't know why you want Steve McLaren. I don't want McLaren at Man United, to be honest with you. I'd like to see Nicky Butt involved back at Man United, definitely. I'd like to see some proper Man United back involved DNA. I mean, look, I didn't mind Ollie in charge, but I don't think Ollie was the right person. I think you need, I'd love to see somebody involved in the club who's not, you know, like David Beckham's a legend, but Beckham's spent a lot of time, you know, in the glamorous area of football. Like, he's probably too glamorous for what's needed at Man United. But somebody like Nicky Butt, who's come through the youth setup, who's, you know, played for the first team, who's been involved in, you know, the youth setup as a coach and a head of youth development, someone like that, I think, would be very important. I wouldn't, I'm not saying I'd give him the manager's job. I'm not saying I'd give him the director of football job. But somebody like that is needed in power at the football club. And, you know, what's the point in giving him the job and then Omar Berada being his job as well? That's we need a complete reset, basically. Seth says owners are responsible at least 80% for an organisational failure. Amri's an employee. If he gets sacked, he'll find a new job. I've worked for people like the Glazers and Ineos. They blame everyone else, says Seth. Amri must walk away and expose the board, says Rohit. Thank you very much. Well, look, we are back at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm doing the Arsenal game at 5:30. Obviously, we will await and see what else happens. But I personally just want to say thanks to everybody who's watching live and who's not watching live. And thank you to everybody that's commenting about the United stand, you know, even if it's negative, because you're creating the conversation. And the conversation is this. If you want to be positive about the project and Amorim and everything else, you do you. But don't misprofile why people aren't happy. This is not about, you know, a video getting 500,000 views. It's not about, you know, standing out Old Trafford and, you know, being fake and how you react and screaming and shouting. This is about Manchester United Football Club being £1 billion in debt. It's about to knock down Old Trafford. We finished 15th last year. We've got no vision. The performances are terrible. We've got no midfield. The club's on its arse. The manager is sat in an interview virtually crying, saying they're not going to back me. And now we're getting stories about them undermining him. It's chaos. If you're backing that project, listen to what I've just said. You're backing all of those things. You can back the manager and despise what the owners are doing. And as I've said, I want to see them supporting this manager with a midfielder in January and giving him until May. That's what I want to see. So that's not sacking the manager. But what I do want is focus on Ineos, the Glazers, Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada, who are the real conductors of failure, who keep getting away with it. That's what I want to see. Now, if you're backing those people, then I find that incredible for the reasons I've just listed. But that's not negativity. That's not moaning. That's not rage baiting. That's fact. Debt, stadium, league position, no midfield, crap football, all on those people. You can leave Amrim out of it if you want. It's all on those people. That's the conversation. And that doesn't make you a bad fan to say the Glazers are bad owners. If you want to trust the project, you're trusting the Glazers. If you want to call people who aren't happy with the project fake fans, well, I could say something about you for trusting a Glazer project, but I'll be polite. Thank you, everybody. The conversation is clearly going. This is what we want. Things are happening. We might get a signing in January now, so keep the pressure up. I think the only way they're going to calm the waves is by genuinely going for a player instead of putting fake stories out about Belaba. Genuinely sign a player in January and you might calm this storm down, but you're not going to do it by spinning your lies. Take care. Stay safe. I'll speak to you a little bit later.